Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about Season 4, Episode 9 of 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way. And it was a fun episode, so I can't wait to dive right on in. For this week, I've got a lovely guest with me making her second appearance on this season's coverage of 90 Day Fiancé. You may know her as one half of the RHAP B&B. You may know her as one half of the Masked Singer podcast hosted by myself and them. Or you may know them as my other half and better half. It is the one and only Liana Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Ah, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. And this is going to sound weird because stuff happens in television shows, but I'm like surprised how much stuff happened in this episode. 90 Day Fiancé loves a good cliffhanger. And so the fact that we got so much content of actual things happening was such a surprise to me, such a joy. I'm so thankful that this is the episode that I get to talk about with you.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have you in here with us as well. And honestly, it does feel like usually, especially when you get to the mid-season point of a lot of these shows, it can get a little bit foddersome where it's just meh episode after meh episode after no movement. Oh, there's one exciting thing. They teased it and now it's the cliffhanger for this episode. Not even you're going to see the payoff. But this episode, we got a lot of payoff and not a lot of cliffhanger, which I'm very okay with.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm just scrolling through the couples that we saw in this episode. Unfortunately, no Osama and Debbie, which I have been loving Debbie. So I was really sad I don't get to talk about her. But for the couples that we did get, I mean, we got a move. We got a almost move. We got a marriage. We got the conversation that I've been waiting all season for. So genuinely so much happening in this episode.
It really has been. And, you know, I can talk to the higher ups on this podcast. Just give me one moment. Yeah. Can Liana get clearance to talk about Debbie and Osama? Yeah. Oh, I'm the higher ups. You can talk about Debbie and Osama. That is allowed. I am permitting it. So you're good to talk about them for sure this episode. But yeah, I had fun with this episode. This season has put new life into my energy for 90 Day. I feel like, you know, I've been talking about this week in, week out with all of our lovely guests that have been joining me, but it has been feeling very stale for a while, especially with Happily Ever After taking as long as it did. So this new season, I've not been upset with, and episodes like this, you know, remind me why I love doing this.
I mean, it's all new couples, essentially, and actual new things happening. So I'm right there with you.
Yes. Okay. Well, then let's dive on in and actually let's talk about Osama and Debbie, first of all, because we're not going to see them in this episode. We do see a next time on where Osama is going to be reciting some poetry to Debbie and she seems into it. Liana, what have your thoughts been on these two?
Okay, I don't really have concrete thoughts. I'm just kind of obsessed with them. First of all, the way that Debbie handled Osama dropping the knowledge or the information that he expected her to go back and all of that, there seemed to be some type of miscommunication. He fascinates me. She fascinates me. Like her son, when he was like, "I'm American and any foreigner is the worst." Like how she raised this ungrateful child, I will never understand. But she has her wits about her. Her skincare routine must be fantastic. She looks wonderful. Again, no real concrete thoughts, just kind of enjoying observing them. And I, you know, they weren't introduced until what, episode 3 or something? They weren't introduced until a while later, which means that there's not that much content. We're getting off weeks from them. So I'm a little nervous. I don't think this is going to ultimately end up going anywhere, but I'm fascinated by the ride.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I've been on record to say that genuinely, if they were going to work out or if they had stories for them, you know, Debbie and Osama would be front and center of this season. Debbie is a character that you don't get on this show just for the sake of adding people. She is a star. So the fact that we don't see her a lot feels like they're telling us more about their relationship than maybe they think they are. But I do wish we would have seen more of her for sure.
Totally. I agree. I loved her. Peacock fan. She just has that this just confident air kookiness about her that just makes her such an interesting character. And now that we're getting to know more about Osama and them together, as you mentioned, the next time on that we're going to see with him reading the poetry, just I don't know. It's just something that I'm having so much fun watching and observing, almost like I'm at the zoo, just watching these kooky characters do things that I never would have expected to see on my television.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately for you, we will see that scene next week with our next guest. But we have quite a bit of content for you here, Liana. And let's kick it off by going to the Dominican Republic and talking about Danielle and Johan, your favorite couple here. How have you been feeling about seeing them 9 episodes deep?
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's the deep side for me.
Like, can we just say that the fact that we start out with Danielle being like, do they even have mailboxes in the Dominican Republic?
WTF.
Bruh. How rude. How disrespectful.
How ignorant. That's where
you're, but it's almost like she knows there's mailboxes. Obviously. 100%. Come on. She's doing it to be like disrespectful. It feels like she's doing it on purpose. I'm so over her. She bothers me to no end. I hope that Johan leaves her. The fact, and I did not know this, they've only met a year ago.
Yeah.
That was
the
1 year
anniversary of them meeting, not marrying, meeting.
Exactly. I thought it was the 1 year anniversary of when they got married and then they said met. I was like, wait, met for the first time? Not like married? Oh boy. I mean, and I do understand like some of the things that Johan would prefer, you know, his wife to behave, not something that I would ever be in a relationship that has those types of requirements. But I almost just want to give him a pass because she's just so awful.
Yeah, she's not great. She is very difficult to deal with. And I put her here for us to kick off with because things get better throughout this episode for other couples. So, you know, you mentioned there was the mailbox in the DR line because she forgot to send her license plate in. And then she, you know, Johan's the one who selected this apartment for them. Johan went through the effort of thinking, okay, I think this is the apartment for us. I think this will be a good apartment, blah, blah. And here she is tearing it down. The beds are too big. I want to remove the beds and replace it and make this room an office. And also, this is good for right now, temporarily. Then why do you want to add an office to it and take a bed out when you're going to, by your words, leave at some point?
Right. Well, I think, okay, so that we've sort of known this from when I was even on the very first time, is that Johan has the expectation that they will eventually leave, whereas Danielle is like, yeah, we're not leaving. I've filed for bankruptcy in the States. Like, I can't go home. So that's not happening. We're staying here. But obviously, that's just not a conversation that she's having with him, which is so incredible. Again, another reason why I despise her.
Yeah, she's not one to chat or share. Only little details that where she can bash him. I feel like those are the conversations she's willing to have. Mm-hmm. So now, meanwhile, she has, you know, she mentions to us that she is a student of the Ifa tradition, which we knew this about her before. But she has arranged for Johan to get a reading with her, you know, guide Baba. Okay. And so she gets on a Zoom call with Baba and Jessica, who is her spiritual mentor, who introduced her to Baba. And this went about as much as I expected it to go, where, you know, he gets his reading and, you know, Baba does this thing with these knots where he's reciting something and then shaking this thing and then using the knots makes a reading for him. So here's the things the reading said. Okay. He came into this world with a crown on his head. He needs to realize life is also sweet. He should try sweet things like honey. Be careful of your throat. Be careful of eating bones from fish and mushrooms. Don't eat mushrooms.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So he doesn't choke. Okay, good. So I got everything also from the spiritual reading because I was hoping that I had missed something. But okay, look, as someone who has a mother who has gone to psychics and stuff before, it works for some people and it's something that they like, they appreciate, they get a lot of value out of. And for them, it's someplace that they feel comfortable like putting their money. It's something that's important to them. So I'm never going to like boohoo anything like that. But clearly there's a disconnect about religion and spirituality between the two of them. So, you know, you got Baba over here being like, don't eat bones from fish. It's kind of a bad thing, which, by the way, I actually do agree with that advice.
No one should eat bones those little fish.
Those little bones and fish, that can hurt. That can get like lodged in your tonsils or something. That is quite dangerous. I also agree with eating honey. I love honey. So
honey's great.
Thumbs up on that one. The one part that I personally would disagree with, I don't have access to the rope with the knots. Mushrooms, I'm definitely a pro mushroom type of gal. So maybe he's allergic or something, and that's why it was coming through in the knots, in Baba's knots. But this is something that I know they've talked about in their other season, right? Because you watched, what was it? And not X on the Beach. That's the only thing that's popping in my head. But like 90 Day on the Beach.
Love in Paradise. Love in Paradise.
Yes, Love in Paradise. Love in Paradise. I feel like wasn't that sort of a plot point?
Her tradition. Her? Yeah. These came up. I believe I have met Baba. Granted, you know, it's been their 1 year anniversary of meeting. It's been about a year since I've last seen them on that show, I feel like. So I don't remember everything crystal clearly, especially with all the other 90 Day content lodged in my head hard drive. But.
Well, better than lodged there than in your throat.
Exactly. But no bones in the footage, which is
no
good.
No bones about it. It's a no bone. Oh, did you hear that? Well, this is a long time ago, but the no bones day, the little pug passed away.
I promise you, you've shared this news to me on a podcast that you and I were on. I might have been Masked Singer, might have been the last time you were here on 90 Day, but I definitely remember you saying this before.
Sometimes I think about that and then I get sad.
Oh, no, I guess. The bones were the dogs we met along the way.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
But yeah, anyway, so I feel like this has come up, at least in their preseason content, where it was talking about her traditions and how he doesn't necessarily agree with that. I mean, so far they're making it work, but I don't know. Religion and spirituality is one of those fundamental pillars that you really have to be on the same page. I mean, we see another couple in this season totally fight only about that. So I'm shocked that they're able to have such different opinions and still be able to be compatible. But if it works, I guess.
See, that's the thing to me. The thing to me is that spirituality and religion are definitely big pillars in a relationship where you either are required to conform / convert to the religion of the other partner, or they convert to yours, or you find a compromise, or you're fine with them having their beliefs and they're fine with you having your beliefs and nothing changes. These are kind of the four options you have. So the big problems come when you are trying to bring your partner into those beliefs or that religion and they don't take to it. And Johan here seemed very keen to be on the Zoom quiz. Like, you know, I'm excited to be here. Let's do it. And then after the reading, he kind of felt like, I don't know. This was strange to me. So he didn't quite take to what had happened. But what I loved more about anything, Liana, was the wild segue from, oh, I just did this reading for her. BT Dubs, the light bill needs to be paid. You got to do it.
Oh, yeah. That was definitely a whiplash moment. I was like, did I skip to, like, what? How did we get here? One thing I would disagree with, I don't know. He didn't seem that excited to do it, but he was like, I'll do it for her because I care about her. Not that
he faked
totally
it to Baba real well at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Oh, definitely. That for sure I agree with.
Yeah. So then anyway, so the light bill thing comes up. She gets a little mad. That's, you know, when she speaks English, she's mad. But they have decided to go out. It's their 1 year anniversary of when they met, and they go out. They're going to have drinks or whatever. And she the conversation comes up to, like, what do we need to change in our relationship? And he brings up that he would like for her to change how she expresses herself. She gets mad a lot. She gets very frustrated. She might cry. It's a lot. She might have to change that. You need to breathe and think about what you say is what he says. And then she says, you don't like when I have friends that are men and I want you to change that. And his response is, well, you know, don't you hate that I have women friends? She's like, no, I don't like when you say you don't have any female friends, but you do. And then they both agree. Okay, then this is something we can do. So she goes, okay, perfect. So anyway, my friend Taylan, who I lived with before and had a relationship of some sort with before, is in the Dominican and from Miami and would like to see us. Is that cool?
The timing felt a little bit like entrapment, for sure.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
like, okay, so you agreed that we're good on this? Great. Okay, so now I'm going to immediately challenge this agreement with the situation of seeing her I don't know. She kept saying not her ex, the person she was involved with. Maybe it wasn't as serious to be considered like a boyfriend or whatever, because there's definitely seemed to be some disagreement upon that. But just one thought, like when I watch them communicate, I mean, the idea of saying you need to change this versus, hey, when you do this, I feel this type of way. You're essentially expressing a similar thing, but in a way that is so much more constructive. Like if I go to Puya and I say like, hey, don't leave your pants out on the floor versus leave your pants out on the floor. It makes me feel like you don't respect our space. And it feels like you're neglecting an area that is like important to me or something like that. Right. Because that's actually me telling you how I feel versus just me doing my little nag waggy finger thing. I don't know. I just feel like it's not constructive. And that was immediately my first thing of like, ooh, yikes. That's awkward.
Yeah. That felt like definitely, you know, that came from the heart from you right now. I want the listeners to know that that is, I do leave my pants on the floor sometimes. This does happen occasionally.
No, that's why I said pants, not socks.
Okay. Well, ooh, I said the thing without saying the right article of clothing.
Yeah, it's totally different. So that way we know it's like,
yeah, I like to take my socks off and Liana doesn't like that.
You like, it's so weird. You'll be sleeping and you'll peel them off your feet and then I'll find them like in the bed sheets or on the floor or when I'm vacuuming underneath the bed. There's just socks everywhere. And you leave them underneath your desk too?
No.
I told you no. I would get you a bin for your socks and then you could put them in there and then we'll put them in the laundry, like a little mini laundry basket for your socks. That would be so cute.
Shout out to Liana out here literally airing dirty laundry, but it's cool. It's cool.
I offered to do it for you.
Listen, we are not on trial. Danielle and Johan are on trial.
Maybe we should see Baba.
I'm good.
Okay.
I think I'm fine.
I mean, we got all the advice about not eating the bones of fish, so I think we're fine.
I mean, that advice was given to us for free without the consultation. So we benefited from watching 90 Day.
It's free.
Yeah. So to me, it's interesting that she brings up, you know, my friend Talen, who I lived with him and I know him back from Miami, but we weren't in a relationship, but we were seeing each other, which, you know, maybe they didn't go to the title phase of putting a title on it, but definitely there was some kind of entanglement, shall we say. And they live together. So it's like double layers without the girlfriend, boyfriend titles, right? Mm-hmm. So he says, oh, so your ex. And she's like, well, technically, no, you know, whatever. And then she mentions that, yeah, he wrote to me on Instagram. He saw that I was in DR. He wrote to me yesterday and said he wants to go to lunch with both of us. And I want my friends to be your friends. And I told him I have a husband. So I'm going to ask my husband if he's cool with it. I'm cool with it. If he's comfortable, I'm comfortable. We'll do it. So then she says, it's important to me that you feel comfortable. So he goes, okay, I don't feel comfortable. This is someone that you had some kind of a relationship with. That doesn't make me feel comfortable at all. I don't like that. And then she says, well, you need to try. I'm sorry. You just said it's important that he feels comfortable. He said no. You said no, but try. You have to try. Mm-hmm.
This felt like she was saying the words that she knows she needs to say, but doesn't actually believe them. Right? Like, oh yeah, no, it's totally fine if you leave your socks on the floor. Like, that's totally fine. And then secretly, like, I'm really upset about it and like super mad. Right? Because you like, just be honest. If you say, hey, this is really important to me that I see him, I understand this is putting you in an uncomfortable position. I really hope that you would come with me. We can be together. I know it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable and I appreciate if you could do this for me. It would really help, blah, blah, blah. Like, just say genuinely, honestly, how you feel. Put yourself in the other person's shoes and then come to some type of compromise that's going to work for the two of you. Because at the end of the day, if he doesn't feel comfortable, he's also valid in his feelings, or you can understand and try to take apart why he doesn't feel comfortable. Have that discussion, right? Maybe she can provide more clarification that would then make him feel comfortable. And it's not like she's seeing this guy, Talen, on their own, right? They're going to be together. Johan's going to be there. So, you know, I do see she's taking some steps to make sure that Johan would be okay with Talyn and Danielle seeing each other. They're not doing it alone. It's okay to go through that conversation and talk about all of those different aspects of where Johan is coming from and also where Danielle's coming from, instead of just being like, well, you need to get over it. Because how is that productive?
Yeah, no, it's not. And what's interesting is I had a very similar question asked to me on my stream this past weekend, where the question was, do I interact with any of my exes? And would I be okay if you interacted with any of yours? And my response was, I would be okay with you interacting with your exes, because personally, I feel secure in my relationship and I don't feel like any problem with that whatsoever. But if you didn't feel the same way, right? If you were like, I actually don't want you to talk to your exes, that is a conversation for a couple to have. And right. They either hit an agreement of, yeah, okay, I respect that. No worries. Not going to happen. Or you talk through it and find a compromise. But to immediately be like, I need you to feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable. Well, you need to try. And we're going to do that immediately because my friend is actually in town and wants to see me.
Yeah. Great. And I've already booked the restaurant reservation. So we're going.
Like, exactly.
That's not, I mean, it was not that she did that, but it was definitely giving that energy of, well, I've already made a decision, which is definitely a pattern that they have in their relationship, right? With, well, I've already made the decision that we're moving to DR and I'm essentially staying here forever. Well, I've already made the decision that, you know, you need to reorganize your meat shop and that you're not doing a good job, right? Because what was that? Oh my God. What did she say? Well, who did she compare herself to? Like, I'm not Jeff Bezos. I'm not Warren Buffett. What was it that she said? That was a really funny quote. Like
that, I did not catch that.
Oh so. Man. Okay. All right. Slipped. I can't remember. Anyway, the point is that they clearly have communication issues and she feels like she's above him and better than him. And so she comes in with this, I'm okay, you're not okay type of mentality, which really is just going to ultimately cause problems in the long run, unless he ends up just throwing his hands up being like, fine, whatever. Which I guess if that works for them, and it doesn't seem to be for me what I would want in a relationship, but to each their own, I suppose.
Yeah. So then fast forward to next week, next time on, they're going to be fighting about said friend. So that's coming. So much for the celebrations, huh? We're already fighting.
Exactly. Immediately. Exactly. Ugh. Yeah, of course. Who could have predicted this?
Yeah. Anytime a episode gets easy with one couple, another couple gets in and has a hella problem. So this week it was Danielle and Johan. So we can just pivot over to a couple that didn't have any fights this week, and that is Chris and Jamie, Liana. So Chris and Jamie, what have your thoughts been on their situation?
Yeah. Oh my God, I don't want to start the exact same way that I started with Danielle and Johan, but like, oh my God, Chris is a dumpster fire. Like, I'm sorry. No, I mean, you've discussed this. I don't want to belabor the point, but like, I'm gathering my thoughts.
Gather them up. You first, take your time.
I just want to say, all right, one thing that I wish the show hadn't done is give us the flash forward and the like this season on, because what we know from this season on is that Chris goes back to the States and apparently ghosts.
There's a ghosting again.
There's a ghosting. Yes. Ghosting another ghosting. And it is so difficult then to look at that relationship and be like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm so happy for them. They work through their differences, because on paper, the last two episodes have been very cute, right? Like from Chris's re-proposal, or I don't remember if she like official. Well, I think she proposed on the phone, right? And then this was like the first
proposal, a proper
like,
in person one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They like went away. In this episode, they met Jamie. How do you say her name?
Jamie.
They met Jamie's friends. The friends seem to approve. They're all cute. They get married, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's all so cute on paper. But I just, in the back of my head, I have this nagging feeling that, I mean, not feeling, it's fact. Like, we know it's going to happen, that Chris is going to abandon her and go back. And so it's just, I'm so mad at TLC for giving me that. I really wanted to just believe that they were a cute, happy couple for one second.
Yeah, that is kind of my feeling as well, where they've, it's like they could have really framed them to be a happy couple, but then they've given us all these nuggets to know that I don't know if this is going to last. I don't know if this is going to go the way you think it's going to go. But in this episode, it was highly positive content. And really, it's because we had one major scene with them. Chris has been in town for 9 days. It's their wedding day. She has now met her friends the night before the wedding. And then her daughter, who was supposed to be there for the wedding, can't make it because she has an exam the day of the wedding. But all her family are on Zoom and they get married. That was all we saw from them.
Yes, exactly. How like happy for them. How lovely. How amazing. You know, we get Jamie being like, my marriage is for the rest of my life. It's a big deal. We saw the flashback with the friends, with them approving, right? Because there was the scene where we saw that obviously Chris was having the issues with the neck pain or whatever. And so she couldn't meet up with the friends, Jamie's friends. So then we get the flashback, the friends approve, they go through the whole thing. Chris is wearing her mom's dress that her mom wore when she got married. So it's like, oh my God, like a tradition, something old, something borrowed, whatever, something new, something blue, whatever those traditions are. Like it felt like, oh my gosh, this is so cute. Chris talking about how today is completely different from my last wedding. Just all of it so adorable. Jamie looks so gorgeous. I loved her dress, the Zoom. Everything was so wonderful and it's all gonna last and it's all happy and TLC it was AI footage that TLC came up with. So it actually never happened and she's never gonna ghost her and it's all gonna be happy forever.
Yes, definitely that is what's gonna happen. That is canon. But then here's a pivot for you. Okay, so next week, Chris and Jamie's next time on, they're looking into opening a business together, specifically a food truck. This has never come up. We have never heard about them wanting a joint venture, especially in the food industry. All of a sudden, we're looking at a food truck?
Yeah. It would have been nice to have known a little bit about this before. I'm so curious where this came from. And was this something that they were planning? I don't know. I guess they're going to go maybe buy a food truck. Although based on the looks on their faces when they were told the price of the food truck, maybe not. But we'll see.
Yeah. Intriguing. Intriguing for sure. All right. Let's take a quick break. Let's brace ourselves. Let's collect our thoughts. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about Nicole and Mahmoud. Stay tuned. All righty, everyone, get ready. We're about to talk about Nicole and Mahmoud. A very weird episode for Nicole and Mahmoud here. We get a lot of interesting developments here. And what seemed to be in the first half, like it was a done relationship, seems maybe be in purgatory a little bit more again. So, Liana, Mahmoud has Ubered out. Last we saw him, he said, if you don't get in this Uber, it's over. He got on the Uber and left. Meanwhile, Nicole's sitting at the hotel lobby and says, Mahmoud's been gone for an hour. I can't believe he didn't come back. Well, what did you think? He said he was going to leave and he left.
Yeah. I hate both of them so much.
Welcome to my world.
So much. So I'm frankly not surprised by either of their behaviors.
Yeah, it's not great. Now, what happens is Mahmoud goes home, right? And while Nicole stays in this hotel lobby for God knows how long, Mahmoud's brother, Ahmed, says, hey, you have to go get your wife. Like, you can just leave her there for no reason. So then Ahmed goes over to the hotel lobby with him to talk to her directly. And it seemed very nice, right? Ahmed's like, listen, you're my sister. I'm here for you. I want to help you fix it. I don't care about him. I want you to talk to me and feel comfortable talking to me. And he tells us in confessional that Mahmoud has no experience with a partner. He doesn't really know. He's never had a girlfriend. He's never had anything. So, you know, this is not great, but I'm going to try and fix it. What were your thoughts on Ahmed here specifically in this scene?
Well, so first of all, the information that we learned about Mahmoud was definitely confirmatory, I guess, when it comes to thinking about the rest of his behavior with treating Nicole. It was like, oh, well, yeah, duh. Like, it totally makes sense that this would have been his, you know, first any type of seems to be serious relationship. I mean, obviously, you know, casual relationships that look completely different. So I understand that, but just his communication skills are just absolutely terrible. And I think that the brother has, I don't know, this is really tough for me to talk about, like, 'cause I see a lot of people being very positive about him. And I think in this moment, like, I really love the energy that he brought. You know, he said, look, I come for you. Like, I'm not here for him. I'm mm-hmm. here because, as you said, like, you are my sister. You, like, you are married into our family. You are my family. And I love that energy from him.
I'm sorry. I thought there was a butt coming, so I didn't say anything.
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay.
Well, you asked me a question in the scene. That was my genuine feeling in this.
Because I felt like maybe your thoughts may have changed a little later on. So I felt a similar situation. So we can go through. Mm-hmm. So then later, you know, after Ahmed talks to Nicole a little bit, he goes and gets Mahmoud and says, okay, Mahmoud, go talk to her now. Go figure some stuff out. You know, let's figure this out. Okay, so now Mahmoud goes and sits with her, and Mahmoud and they, you know, start fighting again a little bit, because Mahmoud's like, I'm not changing my mind about your clothes. And she says, I'm not changing my mind either. They fully fight. She's like, well, I'm not going to change. So what are we going to do? He's like, well, I'm not going to change. Like, okay, let's just end it. Let me go home. I'm going to go get my stuff. And then I'm going to go back to, what did she say? A country where I'm going to feel comfortable living in, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So they're still arguing. Next mm-hmm. scene happens. Ahmed comes back and says, you two are like two stupid little kids. What is this? You're still fighting. What is going on? You're angry. He's angry. Let's delay this conversation. When you both calm down, you can fix everything. And he tries to take charge of this moment where he's like, don't talk to him. Don't talk to Mahmoud. Talk to me. Talk to me instead. And then Ahmed pretty much tells Mahmoud, she is the queen. Stand up and be sorry to her. Apologize to her, which Mahmoud does. But given that we've seen Mahmoud do this apology a billion times of, I love you. And, you know, I love you, honey. You're amazing. I love you. I'm sorry. To me, it was just an empty apology. It didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It was a stopgap apology.
What's the brother's name? Ahmed?
Ahmed, yeah.
Okay, so he gave me one of my favorite lines, I think, in this whole episode, which is, say hi to your wife, you stupid guy, which totally fair. Love that. And then when Nicole and Mahmoud were talking and the brother was just sitting from afar watching, and the shots of him just observing their conversation made me laugh. So that was very much appreciated. And then, he comes back, obviously knows something's wrong, comments that they're essentially children, but fundamentally, I mean, nothing has changed. Nicole says, I'm not Egyptian, you know, and you're not American. Like, this just isn't going to work. We've had these unresolved issues for 3 years. I'm not going to change. You're not going to change. And so while there is a bit of a band-aid in this moment, thanks to Ahmed, it's not going to fix the underlying fact. Like, you have a broken bone. Putting a band-aid over it isn't going to heal it.
Yeah. And to me, this felt like, you know, Ahmed coming in with potentially good intentions, but really not realizing the gravity and how big this issue is for them. Because like we said earlier, there are some issues in a relationship where either you have to conform to what your partner wants, or the partner has to conform to what you want, or you find a middle and you agree to the middle, or you just are fine with everything the way it is. Seems like none of these four options are going to be working for either of these partners combined. So the fifth option is to end the relationship. And they got there, Liana. They were right there. Ahmed paused the inevitable. And I do not like that from Ahmed, because my God, I was this close to being done talking about them this season. And I was pumped. I was so happy.
I know. So here's what I really, really would love to see, because what I have not seen with them is them happy or getting along at all. Like, I want to know how we got here, right? Because obviously they met, they were compatible somehow or in love somehow, mm-hmm. and then ended up getting married. Like, they obviously were into each other enough in some way to get married, but I have never, not once in the season, seen that energy. The closest is maybe them playing in the pool for like a split second
before they had a big fight again, their biggest fight so far.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know in what I need to see one element of them getting along. Like, I just, I need, because otherwise it's just like, it's just like bashing your head against the wall.
Yeah. I would argue that the most nice and happy they've been so far, I feel like we got that in the cafe in the next scene. Almost.
Yes. But even that was an underlying there's still underlying tension there.
Of course.
And that's what I'm saying, is that even in the conversations where they're not yelling at each other and they're not upset, there's still this underlying tension and this underlying awkwardness of walking on eggshells, of, you know, like, what was it when Nicole asked the question of what do I wear under my bathing suit? I think this was last week or 2 weeks ago.
It was last week.
And yeah, last week, what do I wear under my bathing suit? And all of a sudden he just like gets upset and walks away. Right.
Which and does nothing and helps nothing.
Exactly. And so it's like, okay, so clearly she said something that upset him, or there's some like reason. And it's that energy all the time, if not active fighting.
Yeah. I find that, you know, I'm still frustrated and infuriated by them. So none of that has changed. So then let's just skip into the next, let's skip into the next scene here, because we're going to have a lot of meat and potatoes there to discuss. So they're going out. Okay. They're going to go out to a cafe with Ahmed and his wife and Ahmed's daughter and the two of them. So five of them going out to have like a, you know, a night out, just to hang out, talk, and, you know, maybe bond, which looked good. And I thought was a good thing in the moment. They're playing some backgammon, and, you know, she brings up, and this is a prime time for Nicole to kind of talk to, because Ahmed's wife, and him have gone through a similar journey to what Mahmoud and Nicole have, where you're bringing in someone from a different background, different culture. And, you know, there's a bit of a culture shock at first. Maybe there's a little bit of a rocky start, and you see where they've gotten. So, you know, Nicole brings up that, you know, one thing I used to do with my dad is like I would share a beer with him. And that's been a challenge for me, not having that available, because like Mahmoud doesn't approve, which obviously we're talking about alcohol here. And then Ahmed goes, and this was my favorite line, of, I used to drink tequila. I love tequila. I was like, okay, Ahmed, I didn't know that. And apparently Mahmoud didn't either. Mahmoud's face dropped. He was so shocked. And then Ahmed really was terrified that Mahmoud's going to rat him out to his mom. I was like, y'all are adults. Stop this, please. I mean, but also as someone who would understand, because I would not want to have that conversation with my family at all. So I get it. But also I was like, man, come on, man. You have a child. It was your path. God. You don't even do it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like Mahmoud is just the tattling younger brother. I get that energy, which is why Ahmed never wanted to say anything. He was like, my little brother is going to tattle on me. Very much that energy.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So now that is there anything else that you want to mention about like specifics of this last scene?
Sorry, what was that?
Is there anything you want to talk about, like any more details with this scene?
Well, okay. So there was some other stuff that came up as well. You know, Mahmoud brings up the fact that, you know, you don't like the hijab, and I understand that. And I'm like, you know, you know, that's fine. And then what's it called? Then Ahmed and his wife talk about that a little bit. And then Ahmed's wife leans over to Nicole and says, let me put you in on a secret. I still don't really like it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a, you know, a bit of a information dump to Nicole that like, yeah, I do it, but I'm not a fan of it. But, you know, I guess this is something that she has accepted or they've compromised on. I don't know. We don't know the full detail of the Ahmed and his wife's relationship details there. But that's like the one other thing that's sticking out to me. Is there anything you wanted to bring in? Well, I'm assuming yes.
Okay, yes. I would like to talk broadly, and I'm going to start off by giving a little bit of a caveat that this unearthed a little bit of like Liana trauma. So this is the reason why I read the situation in a particular way is based on an experience that I have had in the past. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's true. It doesn't necessarily mean that this is where Ahmed is coming from, but this is my read of the situation. My interpretation of Ahmed trying to change the way that Mahmoud treats Nicole is ultimately he wants the same outcome. It's just a different approach. So Mahmoud's approach is very much like, you have to do this. I'm yelling at you. You need to be doing this. Otherwise, like, you don't respect me and blah, 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 whatever. The grabbing of the hand that we saw, like a very intense way of approaching what he wants. Whereas what I got from Ahmed was more, like, you need to wear her down. It almost felt much more manipulative in like, look, you're not going to be able to get her to do all the things you want all at once. So go slow, slowly coerce her into behaving the way that you want. One piece at a time. Sure. Tell her she doesn't have to wear the hijab when she starts, but eventually you'll get there with her. You need to teach her how to pray so you can eventually get her to pray every single day. You need to slowly like wear her down into being the person that you want. So it's ultimately the exact same. It's just a different approach to getting the same outcome. That was my read based on what he was saying in the confessionals and also that moment with the sister-in-law as well, where his wife is saying like, look, in my heart, I don't like this. It just like, I don't know, that moment was very uncomfortable for me to watch. Again, with the caveat of Liana trauma in all of this. That was my read. That I know a lot of people have been really positive about him, the brother, about Ahmed, but I just, I don't know. It rubs me a little bit the wrong way.
Yeah, see, it's going to be tough because I definitely felt some mixed bag feelings personally with Ahmed. There's parts of it I was like, I'm very happy that Ahmed's taking a approach to, you know, try and help Nicole blend in with the family and feel comfortable here, because Mahmoud's doing none of that, essentially, from where I'm standing. Now, it's going to be impossible to fully know everything because we don't know the story behind Ahmed and the sister-in-law's relationship and how they came to be. How did they hit a compromise? Did they hit a compromise? I don't know. Now, I feel like with Ahmed and his sister-in-law, at the very least, you know, hearing this tequila talk and stuff like that, I'm getting a little bit more of he may have been open and been doing and trying and doing different things before they got married. So it's like she knew this side of him, and now she knows she's seeing this side of him, and she's, you know, they're together, you know, they might be fine. But with Mahmoud, he's been very much going, you know, 0 to 100, like they mentioned on the episode, where his approach was immediately, we got to do this, 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 this. And he is saying ease her into it. Ultimately, I don't think this is hidden in the show or in their intentions. I think ultimately their expectations for Nicole were made very clear when they were at the uncle's house, was up 2 weeks ago, right? Where the uncle was essentially saying, you have to be the one to teach her these things and you got to take it slow and get there eventually. Now, that is all well and good, and I think is a very healthy approach to going towards easing someone into this religion or this background or these practices, if that is what they have agreed to do and want to do. So Nicole has done one of those two things. She has agreed to, upon them getting together, she's going to convert, she's going to do these things. She clearly has had second thoughts and has kind of taken that part back. Doesn't really want to do that. Doesn't really feel like it's for her. So because she does not agree to these two things, I think there's going to be a clash incoming, no matter how slow you take it. When you're, let's say they take it very slow, 4 months in, things are comfortable. She's, you know, no hijab, not really doing the prayers, not doing this, that, whatever, not practicing this, not trying that. At some point, you're going to be like, can you do this now? And she's still going to be like, wait, no, I thought we agreed that we can just do our own thing, because that is what she is thinking is happening based on the leeway she is being given. But if there is an ulterior motive, and the ulterior motive being ultimately, we are going to hit this point where you are fully, you know, in with our practices, then that's not going to happen. So that's why with Ahmed, I appreciate the potential, like, slow it down. But also, I think the approach only works if that person A, wants to do it, or B, gets to a place where they're like, ugh, fine, I'll just do it. Which I think is why there's some mixed bag feelings about this, where some people are like, oh my God, he's being so open about it, this is great. And then there's another side that are like, no. He is fully expecting her and slowing her down to a point where she just essentially submits to this and taps out and says, you know what? I give up on holding to what I want. I'll just do what he wants, whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing is that if you take that slow approach and that she's susceptible to that type of manipulation, then like it will eventually work because clearly it's not working, Mahmoud's approach. So if you try this different approach, then maybe that's something that will have success. Not saying it will, but clearly, you know, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and expecting different results. If he's going to keep doing this over and over, you're not going to get different results. So take this other approach, but ultimately the goal is the same.
Yeah. So that's the thing for me is that, the conversation of, is it manipulation or is it not? Again, I don't know Ahmed, so I can't really speak on that. I think there's definitely clues that could lead to it seeming like manipulation. And there's clues that can seem as like genuine wanting to help her ease into all this. I don't think there's been enough conversation had between these four parties for them to have a clear understanding of what everyone's expectations are and what one person wants versus what the other person wants. So initially watching this, I felt good. Then after thinking about it for a little bit, I was like, I don't know if I feel as good. So I'm kind of left in this limbo, but also because of how rough it's been talking about this couple every week, this by comparison felt like a good episode. You know what I mean? By comparison, I was like, oh, this is great, but you know, maybe not.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, definitely compared to their previous episodes, this is an improvement, which feels terrible to say when looking at it with the lens of just, or, you know, when I look at it with my lens, like those are the things that I notice, not saying they're true or not. That's just what I pick up on. I think fundamentally they're just incompatible. I think it's never going to work. And I think the only reason they're together is because 90 Day Fiance was like, okay, we accepted you guys to be on the show and they wanted to get the money. They need to split up, go their separate ways. I think there's no way this is going to work.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll keep watching, but I think this is the couple that I'm almost willing to bet the farm on that they're not going to be together moving forward.
Like almost for their own sake, I need them to be apart.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
please.
You know, and let's give you another hint of what's coming next week. So next week, Nicole meets a friend named Nuran that she talks to, and Nuran is a Egyptian woman who is, you know, kind of on the similar mindset to Nicole, kind of giving Nicole a conversation that she's been lacking in Egypt, where it's someone who is like-minded to her and maybe sees where she's coming from, you know? So then when Nicole brings this up to Mahmoud, Mahmoud clearly doesn't like Nuran and thinks that Nuran's bad for the relationship. And in the little snippet they showed of their conversation, even alludes to maybe you don't ever see Nuran again. So more fights to come. I'm sure I'm going to be very frustrated next week. Very, very frustrated. But for this week, I'm not as frustrated. And that's maybe a good thing for me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, you know what is nice? Our next couple, Gabe and Isabel. This was the cliffhanger they left us with last week, where they teased it in the previous episode. They waited till the last breathing seconds of the show to show us Gabe opening up the conversation with Isabel's family, and then they didn't show us the payoff. Liana, we got the payoff. Let the people know what we got.
Oh my gosh, I was so excited. I mean, I was, of course, annoyed that they left it on the cliffhanger last week, but then knowing that I was going to be on, I felt excited knowing that I was most likely going to get the results. There's always a chance that they just somehow mess it up and don't even show us. I was on pins and needles. First of all, I'm obsessed with the two of them. They are the one redeeming couple, it feels like, in this whole season. I need them to work out for my heart. Like, I believe in love and I believe in them. And I was so relieved. Almost like I felt how nervous Gabe and Isabel were. And they both let out the sigh of relief. And I was sighing right alongside them when, yes, it wasn't, you know, the most perfect reaction from the parents being like, of course, we love you no matter what, everything's fine. But the fact that I think it was the mom who said, look, I admire people for being honest. Or maybe it was the dad who said something like that. And so far, they seem to have taken it very well. I mean, dad Isabel said, this won't change my feelings towards you. My notes are mostly just, oh, heart, 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 oh, heart, heart, heart. So I didn't write down a lot of the details. But it was just so nice to see the parents at least initially, and we'll talk about whether or not there was anything else to discuss, but they seem to accept Gabe and they're okay with it. And I'm okay with it. And I'm so happy.
I am so flipping happy. I'm very, very much, you know, in complete joy watching this play out in this episode, because Isabel's parents were speechless, which to be expected, they just got a lot of information that they didn't know about, which is, you know, a lot, but they were not negative speechless. They were more so they didn't know what to say. We got direct quotes from both of them that sound very positive to me. Isabel's mom mentions that she's, you know, she says that the feeling she has for someone is what's on the inside matters, not the outsides. That doesn't change anything. And then her dad mentions that he accepts Gabe completely. And, you know, it's not, it's, you know, it's a lot of news, but it is not easy, but hopes that with time, where he can be explained to more, he wants to learn and realize and get a new perspective, but nothing will change between the relationship with him and Gabe, which I absolutely loved seeing. Now, all of this, you know, put the cherry on top that Isabel's dad also mentions, like, God has taught me not to judge and that only God will judge. So that doesn't change for me. It's for God to judge. And then they hug it out, which was so amazing.
I know. I was so happy. It just like, oh, it warmed my little heart. And Isabel was crying. And yeah, I talked about the unconditional loving and respect and how lucky they feel. And just, I mean, it's, frankly, I'm not surprised. Isabel is a fantastic human being. And so the fact that her parents are also good human beings makes it all make sense.
Yes. Absolutely changes nothing there. Now, here's the thing, right? And this is what I wanted to talk about next. The next scene we see, it's the morning after this whole conversation and evening. Gabe goes over to Isabel and says, hey, so do we know what they talked about after we hung out? Because I feel like it's too good to be true. I feel I'm a little worried that what did your dad say in private? That's what I want to really know. And you know, I've had feelings about stuff like this before, not so much with anything as big and important as this, but I've definitely been shaken before where something's gone too smoothly. And I'm like, that can't be real. What's the real information here? And, you know, Isabel says, I'm calm. This was fine. Yeah. I think it went well. I think it's in your head. But, you know, he says, I want to talk to your mom later. And she says, yeah, we'll talk to my mom later. That's no problem. So, you know, Gabe has given us a lengthy explanation as to why he is worried, because Gabe has mentioned, you know, with my experiences online with being trans, I feel like anyone that's been very religious has had nothing but negative things to say to me, and it's not gone well. And for Isabel's dad to be a religious man, I want to know what was said, because I don't feel like this is completely smooth, and I don't think this is completely accurate to how he might be feeling.
Yeah, I totally understand where Gabe is coming from, especially given his past experiences, that like waiting for the other shoe to drop kind of feeling. At the same time, you know, trust Isabel. It's her parents, and she's going to be totally honest with you and totally upfront. So if she feels good about it, then I think that Gabe should feel good about it too.
Yeah, I feel the same way as well. So the next scene, which my God, probably my favorite scene of the whole season, Gabe takes Isabel's children, Sarah and Miguel, to a pottery studio, and Gabe's looking for some solo time with them because Gabe wants to ask blessings from the kids to propose to their mom, and is planning on making a little like coaster type thing that says, "Will you marry me?" on it, and have the ring be in the middle. And this was just such an amazing scene to watch, Liana. It was so good.
Oh my God. If my heart couldn't get any warmer. First of all, the fact that Gabe is so considerate with Isabel's kids. I mean, we've seen their relationship previously in the season, so frankly, this isn't a surprise. But the fact that Gabe wanted to ask for approval from the kids, because, you know, he's not just marrying Isabel, he's marrying the kids too. I mean, that sounded weird, but like, you know what I mean?
He's marrying into a family, a whole family.
Exactly. He's marrying into a family. And so the fact that he almost got the easy approval first, because I think the parents are going to be the next step. But, you know, the fact they wanted to bring the kids into it, wanted to make sure that they are okay with it, that they're all on the same page. And then the fact that they're also doing an activity that can sort of like bring them all together with the plate that says, "Will you marry me?" Just so fantastic. And it's such, so nice to see an example of a good couple on this season.
So healthy. What is going on? Too healthy for 90 day.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Definitely like Kenneth and Armando levels of this. You guys are too good for a 90 Day Fiance. Like, what are you doing here? There's not enough trash. You actually think about each other's feelings. You actually consider the other people in your lives. You're respectful. Don't make no kind of sense on 90 Day.
No, definitely does not. But here's the situation, right? So the kids immediately were very positive with regards to being asked for the blessing. Miguel was adorable. Miguel was like, I don't have a lot to say, but yes. And then Gabe was like, is that a not have a lot to say, good or bad? And Miguel's like, good. And that little banter there, which was great. Sarah is so mature. And so incredible to hear her insight on their relationship. Absolutely love the support she gives to Gabe, and the relationship she has with Gabe is incredible. I do love that. And what's it called? They have such a good situation. The plan is to propose to Isabel at the pottery place, which I do think is great. I love that. Meanwhile, at home, Isabel is talking to her mom about everything and wants to know, you know, what happened after, you know, with the Gabe stuff, what did you talk about afterwards? And the mom says, well, your dad wants to talk to Gabriel some more and would like to, you know, find a little bit more. We appreciate Gabriel a lot, but we want to find out more about the relationship and whether there's stability in this relationship, et cetera, et cetera. And it's too soon for things to be totally clear, which this is the only bit of worry I have, is that I don't think there's anything wrong. I don't think that the parents are like, no, this cannot happen. I think they are more so in a situation where they want to learn a little bit more about Gabe and Gabe as a person before everything is completely in the clear. But I say the reason I'm not worried about that is because I think everything will be clear. I think they just want to hear more. So I don't think they're going to change their minds. I don't think that's going to happen.
What became clear to me from the conversation they had after the horseback riding was that we love you. Like, the parents to Gabe was, we love you unconditionally. Our feelings towards you aren't going to change, but we do have questions, right? Because the dad was like, look, I want to know the whole story. I want to know more details. You've left me speechless. This is a lot to process. And so I definitely think that that is what you said is an accurate representation of the situation, which is that I think fundamentally nothing is going to change. It just is going to be a little bit more time to fully explain the situation for them to all get on 100% the same page.
They want to just learn before they're like, they want to just learn and know before everything moves forward.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, marriage is still a big deal, and I think that it's something that they don't take lightly. And so they want to fully understand the whole situation before they give their blessing to move forward. But I don't think that it says anything necessarily that they like disapprove of Gabe or anything like that. So I personally, I'm not worried. I can understand why TLC is trying to make it feel like this big thing, but I'm just so happy for them. I love them.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy as well. Very, very happy. Okay. So in the next time on, we do see that Gabe and Papa Isabel are going to be on a one-on-one hangout, and there's going to be more conversations to be had there. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it next week. But for now, let's take one last break and then talk about the story that is Jen and Rishi. Okay, so Jen and Rishi, last we saw them, Jen got re-proposed to by Rishi on the way out of India and has left and gone back to the U.S. Talk about a time jump. She has been back in the U.S. for 3 whole months. So,
oh my God. Yes. This was another thing where I was surprised at how much happened. Like, I expected them to be like, oh my gosh, she's in the States. They're going to apply for the visa. What's going to what's going to happen? And it was like, yep, 3 months since I came home, I got my visa, I'm going back. I was like, what? Something actually happened? What?
Yeah.
You're not milking this for content? What?
No. On 90 Day Fiancé the other way, 90 days have gone by since Jen has gone back to the States. She has gotten her 10-year visa reinstated. Very nice. Very cool. And then we, you know, learn that she's about to go back to India in a couple weeks, which is great. But she gets on a Zoom call with her two friends. These two friends that we met in the early season, who were very much the skeptical friends, do not really trust Rishi, do not think he's good. One of them made a whole catfish account to try and prove that Rishi is, you know, shady. So she gets on a Zoom with them, lets them know what's going on. And then that same friend who had done the catfish account says, actually, you know what? No, he flirted with me. He flirted with me and he sent me a photo before you left, but I didn't say anything. He flirted with me. So he sent her a topless model shot of himself. And he's in like a towel or something. Can I give you my thoughts on this?
Yes, please.
So this is what she catfished Rishi with. She told Rishi she's a model. She told Rishi she was meeting a modeling agent in Jaipur. And then in the context of modeling, asked him for a picture. So he sent her. It wasn't like a selfie, a bathroom selfie of like, this is me. It was a selfie of him, like a model shot of him. And to me, seeing this, I think this is a ridiculous notion that he was doing anything shady. Now, let's not confuse this with the fact that I don't think Rishi is a little shady, because he definitely is. But I don't think this was flirting or hitting on her. And I think this is misrepresentation.
There was, hold on, I don't have it pulled up right now, but there was someone who had taken a screenshot of the messages.
Yeah.
Right?
So the message is, oops, but you were saying that you have a meeting with your agent. And then she replied, yes, but not until I arrive in Jaipur in a few weeks. Let me see a pic.
Yeah, but she told, so she told Rishi that she was a model, that she was meeting a modeling agent, and he also models.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, okay. My interpretation is that he was networking, right? And he sent a professional modeling photo.
Yes.
So if I had seen this, I would be like, first of all, this friend is ridiculous, exaggerates. Totally, like, we want exact screenshots, girl, not some random shot that the editors kind of had to like very quickly weave in. She like is a terrible friend.
This is horrible. This is horrible that you, first of all, if you really cared, you would have said it before she left to be like, I didn't want to put you in a bad spot, like headspace wise before you leave, is stupid. Because what if Jen got married to Rishi while she was there?
Do you think she's a plant?
The friend? I mean, she's a fake friend. I don't know if she's a plant, but she's a plant in Jen's life generally.
Yeah, she really is. She's such a, she is really fake friends. F fake friends, baby.
Yeah, because then in more of the conversation, she says, and then I think he realized we were friends and he blocked me. I don't think that's what happened whatsoever. If you did a successful catfish account, there is no world where he would have been able to link it to you, to Jen, at all. I think what happened was she tried to push the flirting on him and he blocked her. That's what I think happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that. I'm totally on Team Rishi in terms of this
interaction specifically. Incident.
Yes,
we are Team 100%. Rishi.
Yes,
same page. Exactly. Love that for us. Yes.
Yes.
So we've heard enough from Jen's horrible friends. Let's move over to Rishi's friends. Okay. And in the next scene, we do see Rishi back in India. We are. And Rishi is hanging out with his friend Kushi, who he has known for about 3 to 4 years. And they're currently working on some choreography that Kushi needed. We see the B-roll of the choreography a little bit. Looks like a lot of fun. And then Kushi is talking to Rishi about his relationship. And this is some of the insight we learned from Kushi. She feels like she doesn't blame Jen if Jen feels a little bit insecure about her relationship with Rishi, because Rishi hangs out with a lot of women. And also, Rishi hasn't really told his family that they're going to get married. And when he tells her, yeah, we're going to get married when she gets back, Kushi doesn't really fully buy that. And I respect Kushi.
Yeah, well, I don't have the exact quote, but it was essentially like, if he were cheating, I would not be shocked.
Yeah, she said, I wouldn't doubt that if he did, I wouldn't believe that Rishi hasn't cheated on Jen, which I'm like, that is your friend saying that? That speaks volumes. And it's because, again, the way he carries himself, he's hanging out with women, but then also he's not telling his family about this relationship. It's all like in the shadows, which is not a great look.
Yeah. And like they go out and then he disappears and he's around women all the time. Like, I mean, it's his friend. She has no reason, unlike Jen's friend, to be shady and make a mess of the situation. I feel like she is being, what was the friend's name? Kushi.
Kushi.
Yeah, she's being genuine, right? Like, she has no reason to lie about any of this. If anything, she would be lying to cover up for Rishi. So the fact that she's out there being like, yeah, I'd be surprised if he didn't cheat on.
Yeah, this is a real friend. This is a real friend. Unlike Jen's friend, who is not holding Jen accountable for any of her decisions and only trying to put all of it on Rishi, that Rishi did A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Jen shouldn't be okay with the arrangement that they're making. But instead of being like, Jen, you have to push for this, that, whatever. It's like, no, Jen, drop him because he's bad, because he's trying to cheat on you with me. Because I said I'm a model and he sent me a picture. That's not a real friend. Kushi's a real friend.
Yeah.
Not a yes woman. We love that.
Yeah. I really enjoyed her energy. We need to see more of her on the show. I would love to see the three of them together once Jen goes back to India.
That would be delightful. I would love that. But we'll keep an eye and see if we do see her back again. We don't know. But then, okay. So then one more scene. Okay. We're going to time jump a whole month. Now she's been at home for 4 months, but she's going back to India today and she's excited. And she's decided not to bring up the pictures and the talk with the friend because she wants to get an explanation in person. This is stupid. You, in my opinion, before you travel and leave everything behind to go to India, and you think this could be a problem, you're paranoid a little bit. You're telling me you elected not to have this conversation before you go, before you leave, before you travel across continents, before you do 20 hours of flying and you know, a long cab ride if that's going to happen again. You chose to not do all that. And you chose to do all that in lieu of having this conversation first. It's a bad choice.
To me, I don't really care because, again, I think that Jen's friend is just so full of nonsense that, like, I wouldn't even be concerned. Right.
I agree. But let's do an exercise here. OK, Liana, I am Rishi. You are Jen. OK. And I don't live in Canada. I live in Dubai. I live back in my old hometown, Dubai. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have gotten information from your friend that, oh, Puya, you know, he sent a topless photo. He's a model and he sent a topless photo. I can't, there's not a good analogy to like compare it to. So I'm just going to do the exact same one. Cause like, he's a streamer and he sent me a photo of his setup. That's kind of sketchy. Ooh, like, you know, that's not the same.
And there were no socks on the floor.
Oh, get off the socks, man. Damn. These socks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes.
But are you telling me? Okay, go ahead.
Here's what I would do instead. Okay. I would be like, tell your family we're having a Zoom call with all of us together to have a guarantee that you are going to tell them. That's what I would do. I don't give a shite about the shirtless picture. I don't give a shite about the setup of your image of your setup with no socks. What I care about is you being honest with your family, something that matters, something that is more of a guarantee, which means that you are indeed going to get married. I'm not moving halfway across the world to be with someone on a hope and a prayer that they will follow through with telling their family and we will actually be able to get married. No way in HE double hockey sticks. I am making sure that that happens. I'm getting a guarantee. I'm getting it written down, paper, notarized. So that's why I don't care about the shirtless picture thing, because it's like she's pointing at this tiny little anthill being like, are these ants a problem? And there's an entire wasp infestation behind her. Like, girl, you have bigger problems.
So to be clear, you would still get on the plane and have the conversation with me in Dubai, or you'd have it beforehand?
I wouldn't even have the conversation with you.
No, but that, Liana, that is not the exercise I'm asking you. I understand that you're saying this is stupid, but this is clearly something that we're going to see next time on, that she's going to confront him about this in person.
Yeah, I would talk to you in person. Yeah, I would talk to you in person, probably.
You would do the travel first.
Yeah.
And you have doubts on the relationship.
No, because that's what I'm saying is that, like.
But you are Jen. You are not the mature thinking Liana that we know you to be. You are Jen. You are thinking, this is shaking your confidence in me.
If I'm Jen, then I'm going to have the conversation there because I'm Jen and I'm an idiot. Right? Like, that's a ridiculous exercise to say you're Jen. What would Jen do? Well, Jen would be stupid and have the conversation.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're Jen and you are shaken by this information and you have only two options. Okay.
Okay.
You can either have the conversation before you do all this traveling and going into the unknown in India, or you can do all the stuff, go to India, then have this conversation, knowing that depending on how this combo goes, you might be shaken even more and you might not want to get married.
I'm having trouble putting myself in this hypothetical situation because I just fundamentally am incompatible with her behavior.
Okay, like, flip the conversation. I'm Rishi, I'm Jen, and you're Rishi, okay?
Okay.
Because for the audience, I have this issue with Liana a lot where I'll give her a hypothetical and she'll be like, what I would do is option 11. And I'm like, no, there's two options. You're like, but technically this, yeah. And it's like, that's not the game. That's not the game. Okay. I'll do the game.
Okay. You play the game.
If I'm her, I would contact you and be like, hey, I can't wait to see you. Da, 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 da. Oh, when you proposed to me, it was so good. Okay. Liliana, here's the situation. I know you've sent a photo to another man and I'm not sure how I feel about it. I want to know what was going through your head during this. And then you would tell me da 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 da. And then I'd be like, okay, I understand that. I can't wait to see you. Doom. Hang up.
Okay.
Or I don't get that. That makes no sense to me. Should I even come? Tell me why I should be there. Either I'm going to push the conversation further or it's a nothing and I let it go. But I'm doing that before I go in person, because if I go in person and I'm like, hey, what was this? And then I'm not feeling it and then it's a fight. Why would I do that?
Okay. I found a way to answer your hypothetical question. So let's say that I'm Jen and you're Rishi and you already told your family that we're going to get married and everything is going to be cool. But I am bothered by the fact that you sent this your setup picture to someone else. Okay. Then yes, I would immediately have the conversation with you as soon as I found out about the information. Does that help?
Yes.
So I guess, yes, we agree, but also her house is on fire and she cares about the tiny little puddle of ants in front of her. So like, girl, you got bigger problems.
Okay. There we go. Okay. No one asked for us to do this, but there's 10 minutes of your life you will not get back, but hopefully you had some laughs along the way.
You're welcome.
Yeah, the next time on, they're going to talk about that. So now you know that. And then we already talked about Debbie and Osama being on the next episode with a poem being recited to Debbie. We'll see where they lie and what happens. But Liana, that about covers everything here. Thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate you being here. I always have fun when you're on with me. So let the people know, where can they find you? What are your other projects? Thank you for being here once again.
Thank you so much. You can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. What would you do if you were Jen in this situation? Insert yourself into the hypothetical. Puya loves that. You can tweet at us to let us know your thoughts. If you want to hear what else I'm up to, I am covering Drag Race, and that is fun. We're doing a combined reunion finale podcast. So we're not going to release an episode this coming week. We do have one covering the penultimate, essentially regular penultimate episode. So look out for that. Mike and I are doing the B&B as well. That has been super fun so far this season, covering everything from Survivor 44. And is that it? Is that all? Is that all? That's all. Yeah.
You're asking me if that's all your plugs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll do Masked Singer, because I don't want to take away your your thunder.
There's no thought. We share a home. You can take it. You can find us on the Masked Singer.
Yeah.
We have fun on the Masked Singer. It's a good season of the Masked Singer. And if you liked what you heard today, there's more of where that came from on the Masked Singer podcast over on the Wrap Ups Network.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the best endorsement for the Masked Singer podcast, but like, it's fun.
We have fun. We like fun. Fun is good.
All right.
Fun. And aside from that, you can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. Feel free to insert yourself into the conversation and put yourself in the shoes of Jen or Rishi and let us know what you would do. Would you take the travel all the way to India, then have the conversation? Would you have it before for some extra assurance before you board the plane? Would love to know. Let us know on Twitter at Liana RHAP at Puyaism. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do a lot of different content over there. I have a lot of fun there. Come through, say hi, I would appreciate it. And then youtube.com/Puyaism. If you're looking for other edited content, that's where you can find that. As far as podcasts go, Chappelle and I talk about Bel Air over on Post Show Recaps. We're having a lot of fun with it. You can check us out over there. And if you are still tuned into Big Brother Canada, I do talk about that occasionally in the form of a recap on one of the post show episodes, or you can find me guaranteed on a Friday afternoon talking about what's going on these digital, sometimes digital maybes that they be dropping. So you can find me there. And last but not least, if you would like to leave a rating and review for this podcast, would appreciate that over on robinsonwebsite.com/90-day-fiance. That's the number 9, number 0, De Fiancé. For now, we have arrived at our destination over here on the Hot Mess Express. I have been your host and conductor, Priyazan Vakili, and the lovely Liana Boris. We thank you for being here with us. We'll catch y'all next week for episode 10. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.